Hello everyone and welcome to our show today, Ask Margot. This show is here for the express purpose of giving you an opportunity to ask a question about life that you may not yet have found an answer to, or that satisfies you, or an answer that you like. I'm Margot de Coatsworth and I'm your host on the show today. Last episode, I talked about our response to people or situations that we find annoying and how we might deal with those. It's interesting to me that sometimes I talk about something on the show, dishing up my bit of advice, and then I find something pops up in my life that challenges the exact thing I've been talking about. For example, I said recently I don't usually fuss around other drivers on the road. I just think, oh, someone's not paying attention or is in a great hurry, for example, rather than trying to see that they're deliberately challenging me. But after we spoke about this, an enormous truck wanted to change lanes beside me and he just moved into me. Now, this wasn't a case of being in his blind spot. It felt deliberate. It felt like, I'm moving over, so you'll just have to shove off. I was really angry and I sat on my horn for quite a while. I even put my hand out the window and shook it at him, which is pretty unheard of behaviour for me. And I was embarrassed at myself, embarrassed because I thought, well, you've just been telling people you don't do that kind of stuff. I was still steaming at his behaviour because it wasn't a mistake. It felt deliberate. And he flashed his lights at me. My first reaction was, oh, he's kicking back at my telling him off. And then I caught myself and I thought, oh, maybe he's acknowledging what he's done and wanting to flash his lights at me by way of an apology. Madam, I do apologise for infringing upon your right to be in your own lane, and I should have waited. How very rude of me. This thought made me smile. It's making me smile now, because I thought, what a difference in my reaction. I could feel the difference in myself when I gave him the benefit of the doubt. One was like a black cloud that was going to mess up my morning, and the other one was just a check for me and my attitude and thinking about how I choose to see an event and what effect it has on me. Anyway, that's my confession for the day, because I certainly do not want to be a person who says one thing and does another. This show definitely keeps me on my toes and makes me look at my behaviour quite often. I had a birthday recently and I had a really fabulous morning. And then a grumpy person showed up and was very short with me. I felt it was uncalled for, quite selfish of them and very indulgent because they knew it was my birthday. It actually ruined my day. But the lesson for me in this is that I allowed that person to mess with my happy bubble. And that doesn't sit with my philosophy that we must be the influencers of our own state and not allow things outside of us to dictate that to us. Of course, that's the goal and maybe not always possible. But if we're going to be happy, let's just try and be happy no matter what. It's like that wise saying of maybe it was Buddha. If someone offers you a gift, good or bad, and you don't take it, whose is it? It's theirs. So don't take the trashy things that other people try to give you. Let them keep them. As a friend of mine used to say, it'll come out in their face later. That doesn't sound very charitable, but you know what I mean. Ugly thoughts are going to show up somewhere unwanted for the person who holds those thoughts. Here's a little quote I found recently that I liked. You cannot create a new future while you hold on to the emotions of the past. This is so true for every aspect of life, and the great thing about it is that every day is a new day. Every opportunity is a new opportunity for us to decide who we are going to show up as and what kind of view we're going to take of life. This brings me to our first question today. I've titled it Groundhog Day. I was talking to Rick recently, who was wanting to know why certain things were showing up repeatedly in his life. Unwanted things, obviously. I thought about it a lot, and it became clear to me, listening to him talk, and I did tell him this, was that I heard the echo of the story that he was telling himself about his life. Oh, this always happens to me, or every time this happens, the result is this. Things never change. These people are like that. You know, the kind of people who say the sky will inevitably fall and it will fall on us. Do you hear the current that runs under this? It's slightly fatalistic and it's a wee bit cynical. And it's accepting that what was before will be again. What's happened will continue to happen. As though what's been is proof of what will be. I said to Rick, if you want to change what's showing up in your life, you're going to have to change the story you're telling, the way you're seeing things, and the words you are using. If you don't believe this, but you haven't tried changing your story, you'll never know whether it will work or not. So if things in your life are stuck somewhere, like Rick's, and you feel like you're in Groundhog Day, and not in a good way, look at how you're speaking. Look at what your thoughts are, your words are, your declarations over your own life. What's the feeling beneath the words you're using? Do you feel like a victim? Do you feel like you have no power to influence the things in your life that you'd like to change? Sometimes we speak in a self-deprecating fashion because it's funny, and I don't deny that it's funny. But it's actually only funny in the very instant that you say it. The effect of it, the roll-on effect, the ripple effect, is actually anything but funny. Because your genie, your subconscious mind, is listening and laying down a blueprint around everything you say. It's a sobering thought. Ask yourself, what is the story you're telling about your life? What instructions are you, in effect, giving your genie? I think getting this right is a lifetime commitment that we need to make to ourselves, that we watch what we are speaking into our reality. So if you're speaking trish-trash about yourself and to yourself, stop it immediately. Never say, I'm hopeless, I'm broke, I'm fat, I'm out of control. As soon as something pops out like that, correct it. You can do it internally and you can do it audibly. You can shout it out. Say, no, actually, delete that. I'm great at that. I'm always successful at that. I'm getting better and better every day. Stronger and stronger, whatever it is you're after. Closer and closer to whatever it is you want, which is a fact. You might want to be more magnetic, for example. I think this is a big one for us. You might use a different word for it. We want people to be drawn to us, to be attracted to us in every way, to want to work with us, to want to socialize with us, to want to be in our company. That means we've got to be projecting something that people find attractive. This leads me to our next question. But Rick, I hope you're looking at the words you're using in your life in order to bring about the change you want. Try it because it works. Our second question. Rachel says, I visited a friend the other day and was subjected to an extended outpouring of what was wrong with the world, from the cost of food to the wickedness in the Middle East to tariffs being imposed, you name it. In short, how everything feels hopeless and the world is all going to, what do they say, to hell in a handbasket. And I came away feeling bombarded and burdened, thinking, this is not a focus I want in my life. That's not the major focus I want when I catch up with someone when I haven't seen them for a long time. I want to talk about what's right and not what's wrong. It's not that I want to put my head in the sand, it's just that what's the point of talking about things that are wrong incessantly and constantly unless you've got some good ideas for how to change it. It's wearying and unproductive. It's negative, and I'm not sure how to deal with it. It makes me feel a bit hopeless. How do we make such a change in those situations, Rachel? especially when there are such terrible things happening in the world, people oppressed and starving. Someone I knew was going on a protest march around some of these issues. Someone else I knew was giving money to an organisation who's on the ground helping. Some people petition government or leadership who can add their weight to bringing about change. I think the thing is that everything that anyone does to make a stand or give any kind of support must be beneficial. I know we often feel overwhelmed at the task and we do nothing because we think we're just a tiny drop in the ocean of what's wrong and that our efforts are too small to make any difference. But that's a mistake because lots of small efforts can create a groundswell of change. We must never think that anything we do is insignificant in this respect, either practically or energetically. If you think about our collective energy, call it prayer, we have the power to add our so-called small offering to others and therefore create something that really will be significant. Studies have been done on this. It's just fascinating. It's enough to create real change. Perhaps we can even apply the butterfly effect to this. I'm sure you know what that is, but I always like to look these things up because looking at the definition kind of reinforces it. Here's the definition of the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect is a property of our incredibly complex, deeply interconnected world, such that one small occurrence can influence a much larger, complex system. So, we may just hold the power to change our world for good, collectively, one good thought or deed at a time, even if it's small. Also, Rachel, you'll just have to interrupt that person next time and take charge of that conversation, starting with, did you know? And tell them something worthy and good. Have a little battery of good facts that you can trot out at times like that so you can redirect the conversation. I think it's important that we learn how to do that, that we teach ourselves how to divert a conversation if it's taking us nowhere we want to go. That's what I'd like to do next time I'm in a situation like that. That's my recommendation. Thank you for your question. Our next question today is from Roman. All our questioners today have radio names beginning with the letter R. Roman said he woke up the other morning with a headache, feeling what I call zonked. And he said he had a sick feeling in his stomach. He was not feeling good and he just wanted to cancel the day and go back to bed. But he wanted to talk about this because he knows I talk about perfect health. So he asked, what does it mean when we're feeling like this, when we're not feeling well? Well, I very occasionally get sick, and it always takes me by surprise because I don't expect to. And my first thought is, oh no, here I am telling people we're not supposed to be sick and I'm sick. At first, I was mortified about this, but then I thought, all of us at some point in time will probably get a headache or a cold or whatever, at the very least. And how do we handle that, knowing that the first thing we say, of course, is there's no judgment? Here's what I do. My immediate thought is, what is the message in this? What is the big me of me telling me? Have I taken on too much? It can be as simple as a factual thing. Am I pushing myself too hard, saying yes to too many people? And because I wasn't dealing with that, was my body stepping in, forcing me to stop and do things differently? I think this happens often. It certainly has happened before to me. Is our body saying, that's enough, stop it, take some time? Is it saying, you need to do something differently, you need to eat better, move better, think about something that you're not addressing? We do need to pay attention to our bodies, our energy level, and how we pace ourselves. And of course, we need to say no sometimes so that we're taking care of our own well-being. Well-being is not a word I use much because it seems very nebulous to me. But in this situation, I think it's a perfect definition. It's the whole of you that needs to be in balance and feel good. There's a very insightful book I've got called The Body Keeps the Score. That's what I teach my clients, that what's happened emotionally and mentally manifests in your body. When I hear someone having a bitter rant about something or someone, a perceived injustice, and when they hold on to that bitterness and chew it over and over, which we do, it becomes their bugbear. And you can be sure it's going to land in their body somewhere and make itself at home. It's toxic energetically, and we are energetic beings. Toxic means poisonous. And who needs that? As my children would say, ain't nobody got time for that. If this resonates with you and you have a deep ongoing snitch with someone or something, fix it before it settles on you. I remember someone I knew when I was younger who had an ulcer on her leg that wouldn't heal. And I mean, it would not heal. There was a lot of bitterness in her life. Long time, long established, and long held. Fix the bitterness and you kind of release yourself to heal. I do think we need to remember that our bodies are not designed for illness, and this is how we need to speak to ourselves. They are designed to be well. We're actually physically programmed to heal. Think of all the breaks and scrapes and bruises and bumps in your past. Where are they now? They've healed because that's what we're designed for. We need to stretch that expectation of healing out further and further and put it to work for us. Be your own questioner, Roman. Ask yourself, is there something I'm doing or not doing that needs to change? What might my body be trying to tell me? Is there a feeling I'm holding on to or a behavior that I need to let go? Here's a question that always bears asking. Am I angry, annoyed, snitchy about something or someone? Do I feel there's an injustice I'm holding on to? Have I forgiven everybody, whether they're alive or not, whether they're here or not? Think about any relationship where you feel someone did you wrong. Have you let that resentment go? You do it not for them, but for you, because all that junky energy is sitting with you if you don't release it. It may be that you need to take stock of something or change direction. This happened to me recently. I needed to stop everything and reassess what I was doing. And apparently, I didn't get it, and getting sick made me stop, because it forces you to stop, as though our whole body is the vehicle used to get our attention about something important that we need to do or address. Try asking yourself some questions, Roman. You will know the answer. It could be that you just need to eat more vegetables or that you need a holiday. Just some thoughts. But the principle behind this is that you can find out why that's happening if you ask yourself those kinds of questions. Now, our last question today is about how to keep the home fires burning. It's from Rory, and he says, I'm married, but I want our marriage not just to be good, but great. Can you give me some pointers so I can check that I'm doing everything possible? I don't want any regrets. Also, we're sometimes obliged to be apart, and long distance can be challenging. What do you think about that, Margot? How should I handle that so it isn't a negative in our relationship? Well, bravo, Rory, for making the decision that you do not want any regrets and that you want a great marriage and not just a good one. Here's a list you might like to check off to make sure that you're doing your part to ensure that you have a great quality relationship for the duration. The first thing is to protect your partner's name in public. I think it's really admirable when people always stand back to back or side to side in public and never have a little dig or run the other person down. It's so tacky and it just undermines not just your marriage, but the other individual. So if you want to sort something, do it in private. Always talk your partner up in public and be their best support person. Never stop flirting. It's easy to do. You just get into a rhythm of smiling and of stepping into a kind of energy that shows that you're interested in them by saying and doing little things that are flirtatious. Even if this doesn't come naturally to you, it's something you can adopt and incorporate in your life. I saw an older couple recently who were very matter-of-fact with each other. And it was interesting, when he left the house at one point in time, he sort of went to her and said, "You're going to miss me, aren't you?" and winked at her. And it was so interesting to see that dynamic suddenly pop out. And he said, "Don't worry, I'll be back soon." It was very playful and very suggestive and really great to see that after so many years of being together. It's important to flirt. It makes the other person feel seen and feel appreciated. It makes them feel desired. If you have a difference of opinion, we might call it an argument, then when you're dealing with that, do it to solve the problem and not to win the fight, because that's just foolishness. Nobody wins when you do that. If you're tempted to go down the wrong road with this, check yourself by asking yourself, is my behaviour emotionally mature? That will make you think twice before you say something you might regret, or it'll stop you pursuing an argument for the argument's sake. Speak quietly and gently to that other person. Speak with love. Remember, your underlying feeling for them is love. So be gentle. Don't shout, don't rant, don't rave. Keep your voice quiet and low, and feel like you're going to be in the moment and focused on them, not on any issues. Just don't storm off. Say instead, respectfully, "I need a moment," or "Could we pick this up again when I feel a bit more calm?" Communication is all. If you walk out without saying something, you just look like you don't care. If you say, "I need a moment to regroup and to think this through, can we talk about it a bit later?" and then make sure you come back to it. No one's going to object to that. They're going to admire you for it, because you're managing your state and you're treating them with respect. The next thing to do is to check in with each other emotionally. So look out for what they might be feeling. If they feel withdrawn or upset, ask about it. And even if they're not ready to talk to you about it at that time, you have shown that you care and that you're tuned into them. Say to them, "Please come back to me with this as soon as you're ready to talk about it. I want to be supportive. I want to sort anything out that needs to be addressed." That's your part. You can't make the other person talk until they're ready. You can't make another person deal with stuff in themselves or around the relationship. But you can do your part, which is to say, "I'm here. I'm listening. I'm open." This is so much the work that goes into our relationships, all around life, about money, about issues with children. Remember, it begins and ends with the two of you, and you must always be in your strong place together. Always make sure there's an opportunity for the two of you to communicate and connect with each other. Sometimes in relationships, they become so matter-of-fact that there's no space allowed for romance. But really, you must make that happen. Take your other half out. Say, "I'm taking you out. Put on your glad rags. Be ready at 7. Don't forget then to take care of the details, to make sure the reservation's made, the babysitter's organised, the children are fed, whatever the stage of life you're at. Do the background things so that they can just step into that romantic moment with you. If a woman has to do all of that organisation, it takes the edge off it. It doesn't feel romantic to be swept up for dinner if you've got to do the work. So do the whole bit and make her feel incredibly special. And if money's not readily available for such an outing, you can always take a thermos and go to the beach or sit in the park or have a cup of coffee somewhere. It's about time and attention, not about expense. And often being out of your own home environment allows you to speak more freely and to connect more deeply. If you're at home, you always see the things that need to be done or attended to, and it's good to take a break from that. You're saying, you're important, I'm giving you my attention. The other thing that's important, really important, is to always say thank you. Thank you for dinner, thank you for the washing being there, thank you for everything the other person does. And show your appreciation. Tell her her hair looks great. Admire some aspect of how she dresses or walks or cares. We all really want the person we've chosen to live with for life to be our best supporter, champion, and admirer. All those things come from you, Rory. You're the man. In terms of the distance aspect of things and being apart, the key to this working is to make that person feel that they are your priority no matter what the distance between you. You don't always have to be physically together, but they must know you are their focus. Never allow them to feel neglected. When they contact you, get straight back to them. Take time every day to check in and to talk to them and appreciate them. It's all about focus. If I had to sum up how to make a relationship successful in one point, it would be waking up every day and saying, what can I do for my other person that will make them happy today? Not what you think they need, but what they've shown you they need. Maybe flowers, it may not. It may be that you need to do a job for them that they've asked you to do. You may need to take some time with them. Listen to them and give them the things they want and need. They may need you to vacuum. In my opinion, there's nothing quite as appealing as a man on the end of a vacuum cleaner. Listen to what they're saying. Give her what she needs. That's how you can live happily ever after. That's it for our questions today. Thank you for your fine company. Don't forget to send more questions to me under the contact tab at margounlimited.com, Margo with a T, or to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz. And you can hear more episodes of Ask Margo on Spotify and Apple. If you haven't taken time to look at my website, you can take the All of You quiz there, which is free. It'll help you to see if there are any areas in your life that you might feel you need to focus on or get some help with. To finish, we always have the word, our message from the universe. And today, let's see what the universe has to say to us. I say we are one. This is our dance. When I move, you follow. When you move, I follow. I have given you the power and the right to lead, so you do not have to spend your life feeling you're always patiently waiting. I do not require that. I require a synchronous dance with you. That's what I want, and it's what you want. Where could we possibly go wrong with that? I'm listening. I'm giving. I am granting. I do therefore grant your wish. Nothing in this life or any other has more power to create than our dance does. Thank you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.